If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
So now we would like to talk about how fear is a cause of overthinking and how to overcome it. Because fear is an emotion and a feeling that's very misunderstood. And a lot of people go, well, I'm not afraid. Well, fear is not only an emotion, it's also a way of approaching the world. And so the function of fear is to get ready. So when we have a fear and an emotion, it means we're supposed to be getting ready for something. Now, if our motive is fear related, it often means that there's some kind of lack or hesitation going on. So there's multiple levels here and there's multiple ways of looking at it. So I'm going to try to cover some that are relevant to this particular topic. I know I am not covering all the options. There'll be one of you gifted people out there wanting to know why I didn't cover that one specific thing. And that's okay, because we're going to cover a lot. And one of the big things we want to do to overcome fear is to practice relaxing. That's pretty funny, right? Some people will look at me and go, really? You want me to relax? I don't even know how to relax. Well, one of the ways you learn how to relax is by breathing differently. It sounds so elementary and like ridiculous, right? You just have to breathe. Well, you know, most people don't even know that the breath starts with an exhale and that our lungs operate on reverse pressure, right? Most people don't even know that. And so yes, breathing, it's not as goofy as it sounds. It matters how we breathe. If you're not breathing from your belly and your diaphragm, and instead you're breathing from your chest, what you're saying is you have a lot of pain in there that you are holding on to and you're refusing to let go of. That fear of expressing your emotions or your thoughts or your ideas, whatever they are, that is causing a change in your breathing is making it so you can't relax and is keeping your brain in an overthinking pattern that is exhausting you. So crazy as it might seem, it's important to breathe properly. Now, people who do meditation and people who do yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or things like that, where breathing is part of it, actually begin to see the benefits of air. As I say to my clients all the time, air is your friend. In fact, if all of us took a deep breath at the same time, there would still be enough air everywhere. Isn't that cool? We can't use it up. It's always here and it's abundant. Yet most people cheat themselves out of enough oxygen to actually thrive. They're just taking in enough to barely survive, which creates anxiety, by the way. So we want some relaxation techniques. Another way you can learn how to relax yourself is with progressive muscle tension, right? Like you tense your fist, you make a fist, and then you relax your hand, and then you make a fist, and you hold it really tight for a minute, and then you relax your hand. And those kinds of things, you can do it with your neck muscles or your legs or your butt, whatever. Tighten the muscle and relax it. Tighten the muscle, hold it for a minute, relax it. And then pretty soon you start realizing that some of the time you already were holding that muscle tight. And when you tighten it a little more and when you relaxed it, it's like, wow, a whole nother feeling. And so when you have a lot of fear in your being, whether it's conscious or mental or emotional or spiritual, it makes it so your body cannot fully relax and fully exhale and fully breathe. By relaxing, you lower your heart rate, you lower your blood pressure, and you start healing the damage of being hyped up and fearful. So relaxation techniques are something that we all could use all the time, especially if you're living in a fast-paced life or you're working or you're moving. It's really easy to get caught up in the drug of moving a lot and going fast when really we want to rest. The next thing we want to do is, or another form of way to overcome fear is called autogenic relaxation. And autogenic relaxation is about repeating words and messages to yourself over and over that help you relax. Like one of the things I do as I go to sleep is I think the word harmony. So I imagine things that are tranquil and peaceful and harmonious for me. And I only allow myself to think about harmony and things related. I don't let it go anywhere else. And I just keep my brain focused there. It's similar to using a positive affirmation, but it's not the same because it's not, you're using your breathing and your focus and all of you dialed into this one or two words. That's the autogenic part. If you were just doing an affirmation, that would be only mental. If you were just focusing your breathing, that would only be breathing, but autogenic is all of it together. And that's one of the ways that I have stopped my own insomnia from overthinking is by this autogenic relaxation where I'm taking a certain idea or a certain word. Sometimes if I'm having a very stressful day and my mind's really racing, I'll use the autogenic phrase, God is with me and all is well. Or all is well and I am safe. Anything that you can say over and over that you can feel to and breathe to and allow yourself to relax to will work. The next thing you do to overcome fear is doing progressive muscle relaxation, which I said a little bit about when I was talking about the other relaxation. But the muscle one really helps when it comes to stress-related overthinking, where your body's and your mind is just ramped up to the point where you're really stressed out. And so I do that a lot. Sometimes I do the tightening my muscle and I thank that muscle for being able to tighten and relax and honor all of my body for functioning the way it needs to carry me through the day. You know, I work long hours. I see a lot of people. I do a lot of things. I'm very busy and I'm very grateful to every part of my body for showing up and doing its part so that I can do my part in the bigger picture. So that progressive muscle relaxation really helps. So if I find myself overthinking in the middle of the day, you know, like I'm worried about what's coming up in the future or what I have to do next or something like that, sometimes I'll just do a little muscle tightening and relaxing and tightening and relaxing my shoulder. I'll scrunch them up or something like that. And then it'll break the cycle and the overthinking will stop and I'll end up with some relaxation. So I kind of get both. The next thing you can do to get rid of fear is to visualize and use your imagination to calm yourself. You can think of pictures of the beach or you can do a guided meditation or you can just have a picture that takes you away. Like I remember that old Calgon commercial, Calgon take me away. Kind of like that, right? I have a picture of this beautiful boat, this little cute little rowboat, like a native kind of rowboat in Aruba in the water where it's still shallow. So you see the beach and everything, it's gorgeous. And so whenever things get stressful at my office, I just look at that picture and I imagine myself there and I visualize the piece of that photo, the fear I have that's causing the overthinking begins to abate and leave. Because if I'm overthinking, there's some kind of fear happening, whether it's because I have a cognitive distortion that's causing the fear, or whether I'm simply afraid, or whether I don't even know what I'm afraid about, but I can't stop overthinking, which means there's some sort of fear underneath it. So if I visualize myself in a place or in a situation that brings about relaxation, it will send the message to the body to relax. Because the brain can't tell the difference between a really vivid idea or imagination and reality. So the brain will send those relaxing signals from me just getting into that picture just as easily as if I was actually there. Visualization is a big one. That's why vision boards work and things like that, because our brains, you know, don't discern the difference. If it's a strong visualization, the brain thinks it's real because it is. Then the next thing is to help you with the fear is mindful breathing. And that is the ability to breathe with a pace that is slower than a lot of times and has a pause at the top and bottom of the breath. When you breathe like this, you are resetting your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight. It allows your body to relax. So the way you do it is you exhale first to the count of 4 to 6, and then you pause your breath, and then you inhale to the count of 4 or 6, and then you pause your breath. And then you exhale to the count of four or six and you pause your breath. Now, it's very important that it's just a pause, not holding, and it's different. When you do it, you would do it like this. You would go. So I'm pausing at the top and the bottom. I'm not holding. So if I was holding my breath, I would be going, stopping it and then exhaling it. And that causes problems. So there's a difference between holding our breath and pausing it. So it's a practice of it's kind of like just something that goes up, then pauses and comes down, and then pauses and then goes up, then pauses and comes down and pauses. And allows that rhythm to be maintained. So mindful breathing does very well. It's really great to do it for, you know, a few minutes at a time, and it will calm your system down. And you can repeat it as much as you want during the day, because after all, air is your friend and you can breathe all the time. The more you're good at mindful breathing, the less overthinking will be an issue, and you will also not have as much fear in your life. And the last way to overcome fear I want to speak about today is meditation. That's using the mindful breathing and maybe visualizing or a guided meditation or something, but allowing ourselves to take the time to slow down, get apart from the world, and go within and examine what we think, what we feel, what's happening in there. Sometimes just go within and be quiet and be open and just see where it goes. But all different kinds of meditation, whether it's open-eyed or closed-eyed or sitting or standing or moving or walking meditation, all of them are valid and all of them are good. And I suggest if you're not really good at meditation and you don't do it, to practice all different kinds and to see what really resonates with you. Because meditation is a game changer. Very successful people will tell you that they spend a lot of time in meditation. For those of you who are visionaries and creatives, meditation is essential. I call it genius rest. Very smart, creative people learn to use meditation because it gives the mind a break, and that's when the solutions come. Your solutions and your great ideas will not come from overthinking. The overthinking will actually keep them away. The genius rest, where that great ideas can come through when you're quiet. Now, that's the game changer. And so meditation will actually set you apart for the better. Overthinking will hold you back. So overcoming fear with all of these different relaxation techniques really pays off. There's other ways, though, to overcome fear. One would be to find ways to just distract yourself. Don't think about it. Think about something else. Sometimes, like changing the channel on the TV, that works really well. You know, change what you're thinking about. You know, sometimes I'll just go sew, or I'll knit, or I'll go play with my dog and just distract myself, and then the fear is gone, and it works. And that's another good one. The next good one would be to journal or write. Explore what you're thinking and writing. I call it free flow writing, where you just kind of write whatever's coming out and either read it or not reread it. It doesn't really matter. Just get the flow going so that then you can see what's going on, and you can do it through writing. Sometimes I do it typing. Most of the times I do it with a pen and paper, because that kind of writing helps the brain more. But I allow whatever to come out so that it doesn't keep the overthinking going to try to figure it out. It's on paper. You can either look at it or not, but now that it's out, you will not continuously be triggered to keep trying to figure. Then you want to do things that make you happy. A lot of times people who overthink are separated from their own happiness and joy. Like, take a break and do something that you want to do. Break up your thought patterns and don't allow your overthinking to dictate your decisions. So maybe you just want to go play for a minute. Go do that. It's okay. Tell yourself that you're going to have fun and that it's okay, that you're not missing out on anything. It's really going to work out just fine if you don't overthink for 5 minutes. Trust me on this, right? So you have to remind yourself that it's okay to leave early from an event if you want to go have fun and run on the beach if you want to, or go sit and relax someplace, or go be alone. You know, like, I turned my phone off one time for the whole day recently, which is crazy because people look for me all the time. And some people were mad, like, why didn't you answer? Well, because I wanted some time to me. And my friends who wanted to know why I didn't answer were completely supportive. The people who probably had some selfish motives were not as happy, but that's okay because I have to give myself permission to do what makes me happy. So that's another way to get rid of fear. So those are the ways you get rid of fear. There's four big areas, right? And so there's lots of different variety, different combinations in ways you can handle your own fear. And it's an ongoing life process. This is not a weekend activity that will have it all done tomorrow. They are things to ponder and think about. Listen to this over and over if you need to keep being reminded, whatever it takes. And there's other information. There's other information out there, and there's all kinds of ways to look at this. Now, the last thing that goes with the fear and goes with the managing your thoughts is changing your mindset. A lot of people have mindset issues and paradigm issues that get in their way. One is they have a view that they are failures, or what failure is, that it's the end of the world or something. Or some people think a failure means it's permission for a new beginning, that death is the fuel of life. And other people think that failure and something ending is the end, and that, you know, and it's tragic. So there's different ways to look at that. We also want to practice changing our mindset away from looking at the past to looking at the present, and not even toward the future more as much as the present. Get out of the past. I told somebody yesterday that that's why the rearview mirror on cars is smaller than the windshield. We're supposed to be in the present, looking forward, and glancing to the past only for example and reflection, not to go there. If you try driving your car only looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to get in a wreck. So let's quit dwelling on the past. And the last point of changing your mindset is to realize that you cannot predict the future, that it's all about living in the moment. And you might think things are going to happen tonight or tomorrow or the next week or next year, but you can't predict that for sure. We act as if it all is going to happen, but something can change it. A storm can change it. Any event can change it. A change of mind can change it. An epiphany can change it. Anything can change the future. So we can't predict it. And when we think we can, we're playing God, and that is completely uncalled for. So we want to know, we remind ourselves that no one knows what the future holds, no matter who they think they are. And that this whole, I have to predict the future, is way more stressful and causes more overthinking than is necessary. So the bottom line is start to enjoy the moment. Be happy. Allow yourself to breathe and enjoy what's right in front of you. Then the future takes care of itself because you're in the flow and you're in the moment the way you would want to be. So we've covered a lot about overthinking tonight, and we've covered a lot of solutions. So I hope that it has been very helpful. And of course, if you have any questions or comments, you can call me or email me, anything that you would like to do. I'm glad to help out in any way I can. But the moral of the story is overthinking causes problems and makes us fatigued and tired, and we're not machines. So we want to be more kind and compassionate toward ourselves and stop seeing overthinking alone as this badge of honor. It really causes more problems than it's worth. It's much more important that disciplined thinking and a framework of operating that honors your emotions and your thoughts and your spirit and your social connection. When you start doing those things, then everything else comes together. So until the next cool time we have together, always remember that you're right on time and you're here on purpose with a purpose. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed part four of this four-part series on analysis paralysis. If you've missed the first three episodes, look for them on our podcast list and check out other interesting things you might like with our other episodes.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.